With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Biden has met with the four congressional leaders at the White House for the first time.
You can see Senator McConnell and Leader McCarthy and Speaker Pelosi and Majority Leader Schumer.
Mr. Biden says he wants to reach a compromise on an infrastructure plan and is pushing his $4 trillion jobs and families proposal. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says now is not the time for major government spending.
The idea that spending more trillions of dollars into this economy when you have a supply constraint is actually the reverse that you want to do to keep America and make sure we don't have the inflation going.
Expectations for a quick deal remain slim. Also at SRNnews.com, Secretary of State Blinken says the U.S. wants to see calm in the Middle East.
We are very focused on this. The United States remains committed to a two-state solution. This violence takes us further away from that goal.
Meanwhile, Israeli fighter jets have dropped two bombs on a 14-story building in Gaza City and destroyed it. The building housed businesses as well as offices for Hamas's Al-Aqsa satellite TV channel. Hamas says it has responded by firing 130 rockets toward Israel. COVID-19 cases and deaths are down, way down.
Deaths from the coronavirus are at their lowest level in 10 months. That's an average of about 600 per day. As for confirmed infections, that number has fallen to about 38,000 a day, the lowest mark since mid-September. The CDC says nearly 45% of the nation's adults are fully vaccinated, and over 58% have received at least one dose. The overall U.S. death toll stands at about 583,000. I'm Shelley Adler.
On Wall Street, stocks remain sharply lower. The Dow off 468 points. The NASDAQ 283 points lower. This is SRN News.
For your Wednesday afternoon, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers, maybe some thunderstorms, high 87. Tonight, cloudy with scattered showers, maybe a thunderstorm, low 60. Thursday, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely, the high 68. Thursday night, becoming mostly cloudy, low 57. And Friday, partly sunny and breezy, high 76.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind. Life is worth more than a text. Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Ignition sequence time. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit liftoff.
Hello and welcome to SWAT Radio with Doug McCary of His Light Ministries. So happy you are listening today. I am Taylor Johnson, and if you would like to join us in our discussion, please call us at 1-844-777-7928. That's 1-844-777-SWAT. Or you can email us at ask@swatradio.com. That's ask@swatradio.com. And if you are listening to the podcast, you can also send us your questions on Facebook and Twitter. At SWAT Radio Talk is the handle. That is at SWAT Radio Talk. And we'll be sure to answer those questions just as soon as we are in the studio together again live. So today's Wednesday. Doug, how's it going today?
Well, there is a lot going on in the world today. Do you know who Larry Kudlow is?
Yeah.
Larry Kudlow, he's actually saying that what's going on in Israel right now is linked to the colonial pipeline.
Really?
Yep. He believes they represent a test to Biden to see how Biden responds.
Well, yeah. And you know, I mean, that's not too surprising. You know, I mean, Russia and Iran kind of are, partners as far as in looking to weaken the United States so that they would coordinate. Wouldn't be too big of a stretch. For those who don't know, Hamas is, you know, an arm of the Iranian government.
They're funded by
Iran, yeah, which is the largest terrorism.
Yeah, but guess who backs Iran? Russia.
Yeah.
Russia. Russia is involved with everything. that is right now that is going on, except, you know, coronavirus. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if there was some kind of coordination with China on that. I don't know. But Russia is definitely involved. But apparently Bibi Netanyahu came out and he said tanks are rolling and he's given them an ultimatum. Did you hear about his ultimatum? He basically said that they are rolling tanks, and if the rockets don't stop, they're going to plow through Gaza. And whatever they, until the rockets stop, and the Palestinians will not get back whatever they take over.
Wow.
So he said, this is a clear message, and we make no mistake, I'm sorry about there being refugees, but whatever we take, you will not get back. He does not make an idle threat. Netanyahu is a man who stands behind his word, and I think things are really heating up over there to see what's going on. And he's Kudlow's right. It is a test, and unfortunately, President Biden is not a strong leader. You can say what you want about him,
But his tweets aren't mean, Doug. So it's all good.
Yeah, whatever. He is. It's just really sad to me that this is. I mean, we're 5 months into his presidency, and the economy is about. I mean, it's starting to feel the lack of leadership there. People were all excited about all the money they're getting, but that money, go to the grocery store and see how prices are going up.
Yeah, inflation is up the highest since 2008, since the Great Recession. And some people are predicting that it's going to continue to rise. And yeah, there's been talks of, you know, hyperinflation. Now that's not something that we're seeing right now, but the fact that people are talking about that is kind of should be concerning.
Well, you know? it definitely should be. And I don't know if you have been out and about around the town. I have, and we're seeing lines in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. I mean, like in South Carolina, it's worse. The further north Carolina, you go, the further north you go, the worse it is.
In Charlotte, where we lived for a long time, 6 years, the local government there said that it's an emergency and that non-essential travel should be limited because of the shortages.
Yeah. And so we're about 2 or 3 weeks away from summer travel beginning. Mm-hmm. They better start having some leadership up there. We're going to see. Well, and one of the problems is it's being treated, you know, people are treating it almost, this is like the toilet paper of 2020, right? I mean, like.
Except more essential.
Much more essential. Well, I don't know. It depends on your perspective, right?
Well, I mean, you can always hop in the shower if you don't got TP,
right?
Well,
that's true. That's true, but we digress, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, we're glad you could join us today on SWAT Radio. SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And Taylor and I usually take the first part of the program and we talk about what's going on in and around our country and the news and kind of our response to it. But there's some things going on. German priests are defying Pope Francis with a blessing of same-sex unions in Germany. I don't know if you saw that. So there's kind of a civil war going on within the Catholic Church.
Well, I did see something too about, I think the Vatican issued a warning to American bishops who were considering, not offering communion or withholding communion from people who support abortion, but lawmakers who support abortion. So yeah, that would show that there's, you know, a schism maybe on a couple fronts.
Yeah. Well, there is a, there's a bill in Texas right now called one of them is a ban the Bible bill
in Texas.
Yeah. But that they have to do with sexual orientation and gender identity language. That's called SOGI language. And they've passed the Republican controlled calendars committee and were placed on the calendar for today or tomorrow.
What's the good?
But all these bills are they're authored by Democrats, you know, and so these are LGBTQ bills and, you know, that they're going to start coming to your neck of the woods, wherever you are, because it's in our country. But, you know, just to, when you stop and think about where our world is right now, where our country is right now, and everything going on, we are really living in some unprecedented times. And you think when it can't get worse, mm-hmm. you know, you just think, okay, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. And as believers, our faith and our hope is in the one true living God. So we don't react to the news the same way we shouldn't, the way everybody else does. But the reality of what's happening in our world should make us be more prayerful and really be aware of what's going on in the news. Why? Because you can't live with your head in the sand and be an ambassador. You got to know about the world in which you are an ambassador to. And, you know, right now, if you look at the Department of Health and Human Services announced just this week that it's going to prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. So healthcare providers, if you work in a hospital, like Baptist Hospital, doesn't matter what the hospital is, but if you get any funding from the Health and Human Services to provide medical services to transgender individuals, you're going to be required to do that. Sex change procedures for all patients who request them, even children. This is coming down from the Biden administration. And the Health and Human Services announced that its Office for Civil Rights will comply with the Religious Freedom Act. However, if the Equality Act becomes law, that supersedes the other act, they're going to say. It's going to appeal to religious liberty is going to be forbidden. And faith-based hospitals would be required to perform sex change surgery on children and adults.
If they accept the money, right?
Yep, yeah. Yep. So I just we need to be prayerful and speak the truth. Speak the truth. Yeah. Call the truth. You know, I have to tell you, watching what most people would be considering conservative news networks, but they're not faith-based news networks. They're just conservative news networks have caved in.
You're trying to push the Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn, whatever his name is. It's Bruce Mayle Jenner. Caitlyn is the name he chooses to go by now. But he dresses as a woman and they refer to him as a she. It is not a she. It is a he. He was born a male. That hasn't changed as far as God's concerned. He's still got male DNA. He's got male biology. And so as believers, we should not retreat from that. We should speak the truth. That is not unloving to speak truth to somebody who's deluded.
Yeah.
They're delusional. If I start running around telling you I think I'm a dragon, you're going to tell me, no, you're not. Well, yes, I am. I'm a dragon today. Well, no, you're not. You can't be a dragon. That's ridiculous. Well, it's just as ridiculous to say you're a girl when you're biologically a male. Well, I feel feminine. Well, be a feminine feeling male, but you're a male. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just so crazy where our culture is. We are calling, you know, we're just calling things they're not. We're buying into that. And as believers, we don't do that. We live according to the word of God. And I just read today, I don't know if you were there. I think you had left. Mark 8 says, if we are ashamed of him and his word, he will be ashamed of us. Don't be ashamed that you stand for truth. And Stephen wasn't. That's the guy we're talking about this week. And Stephen was a guy who stood up and said, I'm all in for Jesus. And I hope that you will be all in and not compromise on your values. You know, Paul says we have the mind of Christ. That means we love people, but we don't affirm sin. We love people, but we don't affirm their delusions. That's not loving to really do that. And the Spirit of Christ lives in us and is this temple. So, you know, we should know what God's word says and be unashamed to speak it. So,
yeah, I agree. All right, we are up against the break, so we will be back with more after the break. We'd like to give a special thanks to our sponsors, Ace Door and Window, as well as a special thanks to our sponsors, Tom Neal Trucking, and a special thanks to our sponsor, Jeff Andrews of Highway to Eternity Ministries. If you would like to sponsor the program, please email us at doug@swatradio.com. That's Doug, D-O-U-G, @swatradio.com. You're listening to SWAT Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
That is Red Letters by David Crowder. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And if you are just joining us, we are talking a little bit about what's been going on in the news around the country and the world. We will be getting into Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. But first, we're going to finish up a little bit talking about what's been going on around the country, and then specifically kind of what's been going on in Israel. And kind of our response to that, certain responses from certain segments in our country want to blame Israel for getting attacked. And, you know, it's kind of an ironic thing that doesn't really seem on its face to comport with what that segment, the left segment of the political divide, kind of stands for.
Well, here's the thing. Israel has been one of our allies, probably our strongest ally in that part of the world for a long time.
Definitely. And especially in that part of the world.
And the Arab leaders have been silent, which is tacit support for the terrorism and rioting that's been going on over there, by staying quiet about all these things that are going on. And Israel's just saying, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to pursue rioters. We're going to pursue people who are breaking the law. What a concept, right? Mm-hmm. Go in there and take people that are trying to start anarchy. By the way, you sent me something, I think it was yesterday, about Antifa out in the Northwest. I did not get a chance to read it. I just saw the headline, I think, in it. Was talking about, they were saying death to America. Is that true?
Yeah. They were chanting death to America. There's video of that. And, like I was kind of saying with that, it's not surprising. A lot of those Antifa members actually got trained by radicals over in Syria to implement some of the tactics that they're using. But it is a little surprising that we see it. And it's not even a blip, really, on the news landscape. With the Israel situation, it is pretty telling that, what, like 100 days ago, before the Biden administration before he'd been sworn in, Israel was still signing peace deals with Arab countries, and now on the brink of another Palestinian-Israeli conflict. So
and this one, they said, looks more escalated than the one back in 14, which was pretty serious at that time.
Have you seen the videos of the rockets and...
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to see. A thousand rockets have been fired in the last 36 hours. And Bibi Netanyahu is not a guy to be messed around with. I think he was somebody. I don't know if it was Blinken, who is the State Department guy for Biden, or one of his deputies, but one of them talked about calm and remaining calm, and said we need to pull back. And Netanyahu said, "Listen, when you're getting rocketed over there, and you've responded in that way, then you call and talk to me about how to respond to the rockets."
Yeah, and our response is particularly from the West of not condemning Hamas and kind of trying to create an equivalency between the two parties as if one isn't the aggressor is just making Israel feel more and more isolated. And, you know, if you're like, okay, no one's going to come to defend us, we're going to do what we need to do to make sure we defend our citizens.
Well, couple of the generals are saying that Biden has to come out and condemn the Hamas rocket attacks, and he hadn't done that as of yet.
He hasn't really said anything.
Yeah,
I mean, he hasn't said anything on really anything that's been going on. We are facing, you know, a few different serious things, and he's been silent on them. And in fact, you know, his policies are direct contributors to that. You know, he weakened the immigration laws, and now we got a border crisis. He canceled the Keystone Pipeline. Now we have an energy crisis, and he restored funding to the Palestinian Authority, and now Hamas is emboldened to attack Israel.
Yeah.
You know, so it looks like weakness and, you know, a flaw, but it maybe it's a feature.
Yeah. Yeah, I think all of his policies have contributed right now to everything from the border to the economy. Shutting down the pipelines, like you were saying, all these things, it's like a perfect storm right now for a real toilet flush of our economy.
And I think it's intentional, you know, and, you know, you can't prove that, but it would, I in the way that I read and am looking at what's going on, it seems to be, you know, blatant ignorance and or done intentionally to push us to the brink.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's that along with what's being taught to our kids. And by the way, the governor of Oklahoma just signed a law, and the school board out there in Oklahoma City got really upset at the law, because the law basically states that no teacher shall require or make part of a course. Let's see, where'd it go? Let me see it. No teacher shall require or make part of a course that one race or sex is inherently superior to another race or sex. Though the bill does not name critical race theory, it lists several concepts that cannot be made part of a course by school employees, such as the belief that an individual, by virtue of his or her race or sex, bears responsibility for actions committed in the past by other members of the same race or sex. So it, in its essence, is attacking critical theory, which is, I think, great that he's doing that to bring that out. But the school board erupted. They were upset. But there's two ways that you can deal with these issues. You can get your state government to pass laws, or you can get the school board. Most school boards are not, because a lot of them are made up of fairly liberal people.
Yeah, and you know, if that's the case, then, you know, it's time to go after the school boards. You know, I think you saw what happened in Texas. I can't remember exactly which county, but they basically ran challengers to the school boards because of the critical race theory, and also the mayor and one other position. I don't remember exactly which one it was, but they won 70-30 to push through members who were against critical race theory and stuff like that. So I think that the segment of the population that doesn't want that is greater than the one that is, that does want it. But if we don't do anything, well, it's just going to keep getting pushed in. And so there's examples around the country of people who decided to go back and take back the school boards. And if you live in an area where the school board is maybe acting in a way that's un-American and ungodly, maybe it's time to start pushing back.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I just ordered Vody Bakum's book, Fault Lines.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to see how he addresses that. I know it's gotten some pretty good reviews. And
it was sold out for a little bit, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And so Vody's our brother. He's been on the program a couple of times, and he has been undergoing some heart surgery, and now is recovering, and he's going to be headed back to Africa pretty shortly. But anyway, I'm very thankful for Vody taking that on. Our guest tomorrow, a guy named Owen Strawn. Owen is from Kansas. And he is going to be talking with us tomorrow about a variety of issues, but that is one of them I'm going to ask him about. So I hope you guys will tune in tomorrow. You know, again, if you have not been out in the last day or two and you need gas, whether you're in Mississippi, Florida, Georgia, Virginia, or wherever you are, you might want to go ahead and fill up your tanks with gas, because people are long lines at the gas stations here that I saw going in, and several of the gas stations are out because of this pipeline thing. You know, we're looking at Acts this week, Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 17, looking at the life of Stephen and a message that he gives in front of people that had accused him of being a blasphemer against God, a blasphemer against Moses, a blasphemer against the temple, and a blasphemer against the law. And he is a bold witness. He's a biblical witness. And that's what we're really going to focus in today on, is his biblical witness as he lays out the history of Israel to the people that are accusing him. You know, it's interesting to me, as I look at this text, and I had one of the SWAT guys come up to me today, Tim. I always appreciate Tim. He's got some good insights. And he was saying, you know, that the leaders were projecting onto Stephen, you know, what they were actually doing. Mm. You know, it's kind of like they accuse people of doing things, but they're the ones who are actually doing it. It's not like we don't see that going on. But, you know, he brought that up, and it's true. If you look at what they accused him of, and Stephen's argument is beautiful, because he defends himself, but then he indicts them. And see, in the West, the way we confront somebody is we usually just go directly to him. Hey, Taylor, you know, you're wrong on this, or Taylor, you messed up on this. That's not the way they do it in the East. In the East, what they do is they tell a story. Or they take you through, and they remind you of something as they're telling a story. And as they're telling you, you figure out who you are in the story. And so he masterfully lays out about Abraham and how God called him out of grace. He lays out about Joseph, and we're going to get into today this biblical narrative that he lays out in one of the greatest, most concise sermonettes about the history of God interacting with his people from Abraham all the way through David and Solomon. And so when we come back, we'll kind of pick up today where we left off yesterday, looking at Stephen as a guy who's all in. And the theme for the week is Stephen was a man fully surrendered to the lordship of Christ. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, am I really fully surrendered? The people over in the Middle East, we don't have to worry about. In Iran, China, those people who are believers there, just by believing, they have thrown their chip in that they're all in. Mm-hmm. For me and you here, there's nothing really that places that demand on us. And so it's an optional thing a lot of times. So when we come back, we're going to look at Stephen and how he's responding, and hopefully it'll be encouraging to you in your walk.
All right, so make sure you stay tuned. We'll be back with more after the news. We'd like to give a shout out to our listeners listening in Virginia at the Lighthouse, as well as in Meridian, Mississippi, listening on WMER, and all of you who are listening online around the country or the world, wherever you are. We'd also like to give a shout out to our local listeners listening at 91.7 in Jacksonville, 91.9 in St. Augustine, and 91.3 in Folkston, Georgia. We are finishing up our discussion on Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. When we come back from the break, if you missed any of this week, you can go to www.swatradio.com and click on the past programs link, and there you can listen to our full catalog of programs. Again, that's www.swatradio.com, excuse me, and the past programs link. You're listening to SWAT Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after the news.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at I Love the Truth.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Former President Trump is applauding Liz Cheney's ouster from the ranks of the House GOP leadership. On his website, Mr. Trump describes Cheney as bad for the GOP and the country. The Colonial Pipeline has restored some fuel delivery service and anticipates restoring the majority of its service by the end of the week. Meanwhile, over 1,000 gas stations in the southeastern U.S. are reportedly out of fuel. U.S. consumer prices up 0.8% in April, pushing the rise in inflation over the past year to the fastest rate in more than a decade, an acceleration that has stirred worries about rising inflation. The Labor Department reporting the price consumers pay for their purchases on everything from food and clothes rose faster than last month's 0.6% rise. And on Wall Street, the Dow is down 656 points. This is SRN News.
I have a...
There's still major delays near downtown because of an accident on I-10 eastbound at I-95 blocking the left lane. Also, there's a broken down vehicle I-95 northbound at the ramp from the MLK 20th Street Expressway. And there's a broken down vehicle in St. Johns County, I-95 northbound a few miles before State Road 16. Cloudy with a chance of showers tonight, low 60. Thursday, cloudy with showers likely, high 68.
Hello, this is Steve Gregg from the Narrow Path Radio Broadcast. We're a live broadcast each weekday afternoon, and we try to answer every Bible question people call in and ask on the air. Sometimes it's very interesting. We get all kinds of questions, including whatever ones are on your mind if you call in. Join us each weekday at the Narrow Path.
Tune in to the Narrow Path with Steve Gregg every weekday at 4 p.m. and 10 p.m. here on WTRJ, The Truth.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. That is Casting Crowns with Nobody. If you are just joining us, we are looking at Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 17 this week. Today, we are going to be focusing towards the latter half, verses 8 through 17, to kind of wrap up this week's discussion before moving into next week, obviously. If you missed any of this, you can go to www.swatradio.com. Click on the past programs link, and there you can listen to our full catalog of programs, including this one about an hour after the show or the program wraps. Again, that's www.swatradio.com.
You know, when we look at the life of Stephen, we don't know a lot about. A lot of times people talk about Daniel. We talked about that. There's, you know, 12 chapters in the book of Daniel. And nothing negative is ever said about Daniel, but nothing never's said about him except by people who are making false charges against Stephen. But Stephen had a relatively short time span that we see his life, right? I mean, as a believer, it's only a few weeks, maybe a month. And we looked at Stephen a couple of weeks ago when we were looking at what it said about him being chosen before they took him before the Sanhedrin, which was like their Supreme Court. And we looked at him being a man full of faith. He was controlled by faith of what he believed. He believed in God's word. He believed in God's sovereignty, and he believed in God's Messiah. That was what his faith was in. And he was said he was a man full of faith. He was a man full of the Spirit, which means he yielded himself to God's word and his plan. He was also a man full of wisdom, which means he was a man who feared the Lord and applied the word through that lens of a healthy fear of the Lord. He was also a man full of grace. He extended grace to those who mistreated him. He was a man full of power. He did miracles, preached powerfully. He was a man full of courage. We saw that. He went into the synagogues arguing with people, debating with them about Jesus of Nazareth being the Messiah. And then he was a guy full of God's presence because his face glowed, it says, like a face of an angel. And so this week we've been in chapter 7 on his message to the Sanhedrin. And again, he's brought up on four specific charges: blasphemy against God, against Moses, the temple, and against the law. He could have been killed for the blasphemy charge. And he had two objectives as he went in front of the Sanhedrin. By the way, if you're listening, what would your objective be? For most of us, it's to get out of there. You know, we don't want to die. We don't want to be punished. We want to get out. His objective was to get them to listen, to share the gospel with them. In 1 Peter 3 says, always be ready to give an answer. And Titus 1:9 says, hold fast, silence deceivers with the truth. And so this is what he does. And we looked at yesterday, verses 1 through 7, about him being a bold witness, going in front of these professionals and teaching them about the Torah. They were the Torah professionals. They were the older, wiser elders. And he says, listen, the new covenant is not against the true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I believe in that God, the God of glory. Remember, we went to Psalm 29. Seven times in that psalm, it says the voice of God. And the term God of glory is used there only once in the whole Old Testament. And what Stephen is saying is, I'm one of you. God moved Abraham to Israel, the place that you now live. And so we all are here by God's grace. And Abraham held on to a promise. It wasn't about a possession for him. And he says, you know, you're going to go into bondage. So things are going to get tough, but I'm going to bring you out and I'm going to punish that nation that's in bondage. And he's prophesying about Egypt holding Israel as slaves. Now, nobody saw that before it happened. When Joseph went in there, I want you to think about this for a second. Joseph, when he raises up to the second highest position in all of Egypt, his family comes in there. They're given land in Goshen, and they're riding pretty high as a people, right? They have the favor of Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. Joseph is number two in command, and nobody knew what was about to happen. But let's go back to verse 8, because we looked at him being a bold witness. Let's look at how biblical he is. What does he do in being a biblical witness? Starting in verse 8, it says, and he gave him, talking about God gave him, Abraham, the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac, and circumcised him on the eighth day, and Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob of the 12 patriarchs. At this point, all the leaders of the Sanhedrin are going, okay, this guy's not that bad. He's talking very positively about Abraham, Isaac, the patriarchs. He's talking about circumcision. Circumcision was the mark of the Jewish people, of their loyalty to God, the fact that they were his. And so he says that about the patriarchs, and I'm sure they're excited about that. And he's unfolding their story. And then verse 9, he says, and the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt, but God was with him. So what happens? The patriarchs rejected God's chosen leader. So who's blaspheming God here? When you reject God's plan, you're saying, no, that's blasphemy to God. You reject his plan. He's saying, this is the one I choose. No, I choose, you know, God, I want to choose. That's not fair what you chose. Do you ever do that? Mm-hmm. You ever look at life and go, no, God, I don't want that. I want this. It's easy to do in the world in which we live, because mm-hmm. you and I live in a world where from the time we're born till the time we've grown to be adults, we're told it's about you.
Yeah.
Have it your way, Burger King, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can do it your way. And so this is what Stephen brings out in the message to them. And it says they were jealous and sold him into Egypt, in God, but God was with him. And he rescued him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who made him ruler over Egypt and over all his household. Now there came a famine throughout all Egypt and Canaan and great affliction, and our fathers could find no food. You reject God and his plan, you may find yourself without food, without somebody that he chose to be the deliverer. And he goes, but when Jacob heard, verse 12 of 7, but when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent out our fathers, and he sent out our fathers on their first visit. And on their second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. And Joseph sent and summoned Jacob, his father, and all his kindred, 75 persons in all. And Jacob went down into Egypt, and he died, he and our fathers. And they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham had bought for a sum of silver from the son of Hamor in Shechem. But as the time of the promise drew near, which God had granted to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt. They increased and they multiplied in Egypt. He's unfolding God's promise, his sovereignty. Joseph was the chosen one. The brothers rejected him. And then God sent him back a second time. After they rejected him, he raised him up, sent him back, and he saved them. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah.
Isn't that what Jesus did?
Mm-hmm.
He came, he was rejected. When he came back a second time, what happened? He redeemed his people. And Stephen bought into that. Stephen received that. And so again, all throughout verses 1 through 17, what Stephen is doing, he's being a bold witness, but he's being a biblical witness and laying out biblically the history of Israel. And notice who the bad guys are in the story. Who are the bad guys?
The ones who rejected God's chosen.
And who was that?
It was his brothers.
The patriarchs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our fathers. Wait a minute. You're accusing me of blasphemy. But it was our fathers that rejected God's chosen one. And that's what he's saying. He actually turns it on them. And what he does is he says they rejected God's plan. Israel had a history of rejecting God's plan and his prophets. And if you go throughout the Bible, you see Israel has this long history. And what Stephen is saying is, listen, I believe in the God of glory. I believe in the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, is also the God who sent Jesus of Nazareth. The new covenant doesn't conflict with that God. The new covenant is from that God. And that's what his point is to these men. And he's defending the faith and he's indicting them. He's putting it back on them. And he does it in such a good way because they're sucked in as they're listening to the story. They love that story. That's their story.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps, you notice he says over and over, our fathers, our fathers, our fathers. And he's being a very biblical witness. Now, the important part of all this is his Bible was the Old Testament. So he's expositing the Old Testament as part of his defense. That's what he's doing. He's sharing with them what the Bible says. He's not arguing with them about why they should believe in the Bible. He's simply telling them what the Bible says. So I think that a lot of times, you know, when we are talking with people that may or may not agree with us, we think we've got to win the mental arguments with them. We think we got to win the mental battle instead of just telling them what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And he's just laying out the story for them. Hey, our patriarchs our fathers, they rejected God's chosen one. And remember what he said when he took him to Psalm 29. Seven times it says, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. And he's saying, the voice of the Lord is saying again, God's chosen one is here, and it's Jesus of Nazareth. Don't make the same mistake our fathers did.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Make sure you stick with us. We're going to pick up there when we come back from the break. We'd like to let you know that you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. At SWAT Radio Talk is the handle. That is at SWAT Radio Talk. And you can download our SWAT app in the App Store. You're listening to SWAT Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. Highway to Eternity Ministries is a ministry dedicated to encouraging those who have lost hope and coming alongside those who cannot find peace and are considered unfit for inclusion in Christ's church. They use published works to teach God's Word and share encouraging testimonies of transformed lives. Highway to Eternity Ministries serves as a parachurch ministry that comes alongside churches to share its passion and commitment through spiritual writings, nuances, and experiences to everyone who has an interest in the teachings of Jesus Christ. For more information, contact Jeff Andrews at 904-436-5175.
That is Brother by Need to Breathe. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. If you are just joining us, we are looking at Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 17 this week. Today we're focusing on 8 through 17. If you have any questions about what we've talked about today, including talking about the news of the day before, you can call us at 1-844-777-7928. Again, that's 1-844-777-SWAT. Or you can email us at ask@swatradio.com. That's ask@swatradio.com. Again, if you would like to join the discussion or if you have any questions, we would love to hear from you.
I want to point out a couple other things, Taylor, about this first section, verses 1 through 17, that you might not have thought about. Is when God called Abraham, where did he call him from?
From Ur.
Mesopotamia, right?
Yeah.
Was that a pagan place?
Mm-hmm.
So when God gave the promise, he gave it to a man who came from a pagan place. When God rescued his people, who did he use to rescue them from the famine?
Oh, Pharaoh.
Well,
Joseph.
Joseph. Yeah. And where was Joseph from?
In a pagan land.
In Egypt. Have you ever thought about that? So here he's laying out twice. Abraham was called from a pagan land, and Abraham did what? Abraham was the father of the faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Abraham was the one the promise was given to. And he called him out of Mesopotamia, out of Ur of the Chaldees. And Joseph was in Egypt. And God brought him out of Egypt to rescue his land, bring his family into Egypt, what, for 400 years of slavery. Now, he said he was going to take them into slavery 400 years before they ever got there. You ever wonder why? Why that happened? It doesn't really say. But he told them back in Genesis they were going to do it, right? Yeah. He doesn't say you're going to do it because of this. Yeah. He just says, you know, you're going to be enslaved for 400 years.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting to kind of think about that and kind of what may have been going on in the world at the time. You know, there's, from a historical perspective, there's a few different thoughts, but you know, there's also the aspect of, you know, if they had stayed in Canaan the whole time, would they have been a people, you know, a unified people of Israelites. You know what I mean? And there's an aspect of suffering and suffering together that brings people closer and creates a community. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's an interesting concept to play with. But yeah, we don't really know why God chose to do it that way, but that it was just part of his sovereign plan.
Well, I know. And I just think, I just find it interesting that he said they would be slaves for 400 years. They would go to a country not their own. And you know, I think of how that happened. Like, how did they ever get to that place? Well, the brothers had to reject Joseph, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joseph got there by what? Being sold into slavery.
Yeah.
So who was the first slave of the people?
Yeah, Joseph.
So the first slave, before they ever were enslaved hundreds of years later, we don't know how long later, maybe even 100, maybe, we don't know how long of a time period it was. But now he's the first one. So the one who was a ruler was a slave first, you know, and he goes into being a slave for Potiphar. He's falsely accused, goes to prison, and ends up being the number two guy in all of there, in all of Egypt. And I just think it's fascinating to me that when he makes that prediction, God knew how it would unfold. So when we look at events in our world today, you know, I ask you the question in SWAT today, we were talking about that because, you know, I think when we look at circumstances, and I'll just take, because it's so prevalent in the news right now, let's say the Black Lives Matter organization. They don't approach anything that goes on in our culture from a biblical perspective, right?
Yeah.
So let's say it wasn't Black Lives Matter. Let's say it was HLM. Hindu Lives Matter. And let's say Indians were mistreated. And, you know, we were trying to get everybody to wear HLM shirts and support Hindus wherever they are because they've been mistreated for a long time. And the argument is, well, you know, some of the points they make are good and we need to support them. But Hindus believe in millions of gods. You're not going to support that. And in the same way, when an organization is rabidly anti-God and anti-Bible, you don't have to support that organization to believe that Black lives are important and valuable. And I think, like I said many times on this program, that organization, as well as others, have hijacked things that have been going on to people who are black in this country and have been mistreated as a Trojan horse by the enemy to come in and get critical theory, anti-racism stuff in there, which is really not anti-racism at all. If you read that Ibrahim X Kendi,
mm-hmm.
If you read his stuff,
it's an embrace of racism.
It is. And there's no forgiveness there. It's not about forgiveness. The message of Jesus is to forgive. It is to extend mercy and grace. It is to value people, to treat people the way you want to be treated. And if you really embrace that, what Christ said, that is the only answer for racism or ethnic prejudice, whatever you want to call it. I use that term because that's what people use in our culture. But I was thinking about that with the sovereignty of God in this particular case. If you would take a critical theory approach to this, you would have looked as the Egyptians as the oppressors and the Israelis as the oppressed. Just two classes of people. And that's the danger in that whole mindset.
Yeah. And, you know, that's not to discount, you know, oppression and you know, people who go through hard things, but if your sole focus is on the power dynamics and power politics, you're straying from the gospel, for one, but you're also not going to look with fidelity towards your fellow man, and you're going to be a harsher individual for it. And that's what is unique about the gospel, is that, you know, it doesn't take away from any of the hardships people have faced, and yet there's still the aspect of love and forgiveness that we are to extend to those around us, because that's what has been extended to us. Mm-hmm. When you go farther and farther down the rabbit hole of race baiting, you know, kind of the race hustle, the power politics, the dynamics that are involved there, that's not going to lead to more love. And so as Christians, we should be wary of that and what it's producing in the hearts of those who adhere to it.
Yeah, I think that right now, where we are in our country as a whole, is it's very easy for us to simply go along to get along.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, I know people say that phrase as a kind of a cliche, but it's true. People don't, they're afraid of backlash. They're afraid of being viewed, and there's a power that is wielded over people, and we cannot be afraid of man. We cannot be afraid of people, because we speak the truth. And the truth is, there's two classes of people in the world, according to the Bible. There's those who are God's and those who are Satan's. Plain and simple. You're either an enemy of God or you're his child. Not everybody is a child of God. Everybody has the image of God. But, you know, this idea, we're all God's children. No, we're not all God's children. We're all God's creation. Yes. But we're not all God's children. You're only his child if you're adopted by faith in Jesus Christ, by grace, and then the faith in Jesus Christ. So, to the idea of oppression and oppressed, if you're a believer and there is another believer who is being mistreated, we should advocate for them. And there should be no problem to advocate for that person. And it doesn't matter what color their skin is. We advocate for everybody who's mistreated.
Yeah.
And
you know, another thing about the oppression and the oppressor, that discounts the historical fact that every segment, every type of population, people group you want to think of, has been an oppressor and has been an oppressed and set upon people, you know. So it's like, where do you want to draw the line? Where do you want to draw the distinction? Because like you're talking about with Israel, they were enslaved and you went through the Holocaust and all this stuff, but a lot of people in America today would consider them to be oppressors. You know what I mean? So it's just a dumb dichotomy that doesn't hold up to any sort of scrutiny, particularly historical scrutiny, to look at the actual facts of history. And, you know, again, like we said, it doesn't align with the Bible either.
Well, people make the mistake of thinking that, you know, because there are topics within critical theory that we need to consider, mm-hmm. you know, justice, which is a real topic, ethnic prejudice, which is a real topic, equality. But there's a difference between equality and equity.
Yeah.
You know,
and they're good for changing definitions to mean what they want them to mean instead of what they have meant historically.
Well, here's the deal. Why would you pick and choose from something that is completely anti-Bible when the Bible is a textbook on issues like relationships and partiality? So anyway, I'm glad you joined us today. We're going to be back tomorrow with more of SWAT Radio. We got Owen Strand tomorrow. Owen is a professor at Midwestern. You don't want to miss it. He will be talking about critical theory tomorrow and a lot of other cool stuff. Owen Strand, S-T-R-A-C-H-A-N.
All right. That's all the time we have for today. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. We will see you then. Thanks for tuning in.
If you missed a SWAT radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spirit.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at iLoveTheTruth.com.